Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 146, 7, I don't know where we're at. All I know is that we're approaching the holidays. It's the Christmas season, so that means you're going to be going to Christmas bar crawls. You're going to be going to ugly Christmas sweater parties and all sorts of other festive stuff where you know you're going to need one of those Christmas sweaters. I got one here today, my little Feliz Navidad. It's brought to you by Tipsy Elves. So listen, there's two main things. Like I said, one, you don't want to be the guy who's going to the Christmas parties who doesn't have something festive to wear. You can't show up to the sweater party without a funny sweater. Two, you'll be taking money directly out of Portnoy's pocket if you're buying from Tipsy Elves and not the Barstool Sports Store. So it's kind of like a two-for-one Christmas miracle. You're going to look good. You're going to look funny. They got very funny sweaters. It's not just like your generic Santa Claus, reindeer sort of thing. They got all sorts of jokes. They got, like, vulgar jokes on them. It's funny. It's good stuff. So, and you get 20% off now if you use my code. So head over to tipsyelves.com and enter the promo code Barstool at checkout. You get 20% of a site-wide discount. They got American flag sweaters. They got all sorts of stuff that's not even specifically Christmas. So you want to get in the holiday spirit. You want to be funny. You want to be the center of attention. Save money and take money out of Portnoy's pocket. Go to tipsyelves.com and use the promo code Barstool today. We got the Sheriff Spags filling in for your boy Big Cat today. Sheriff, how we doing?
I'm good. It's nice to be in the holiday time. This is actually one time we get something good from Dave where he gives us like the 2 weeks off. And I'm like so excited for it.
It's almost like when the Grinch's heart grows four sizes when he gives us the time off. It's very un-Portnoy. And every single year I'm like, do you think he's going to do that again? Fights, you can attest to this. Every year around, like, when that week starts, everybody starts sending text messages like, yo, are we working today? Or you doing a half day or what?
I will never be, like, convinced we have a day off. Like, it can be 2 p.m. and everyone has not blogged. And I'll be like, I'll still be like, do we have today off? I'm not really sure.
I got a text from Trent for the Thanksgiving break. And it's always like dicey because people say like, oh yeah, I'm only doing like a half day, but then they blog a full day. And if you're the guy,
just keeps trying to one up each other.
Exactly.
It's 1:30 and he's still posting a normal blog. Okay, I'm still posting a normal
blog.
Yes,
it's just like any other office where you're doing like FaceTime and you don't want to be the first one out the door. So I texted Trent back. I was like, dude, I'm falling on the grenade. I'm done at 12:30. So I'm starting the charge. I don't fucking care what Portnoy says. Follow me to freedom. So I'll be doing that. I'll certainly be doing that this year. God knows I'll need – I don't need – I might never come back.
But that works out for him though because you get the time off for the baby and the like Christmas time off at the same time. So yeah, he's getting like a good deal on it.
Yeah, which actually upset me. I was like fucking Portnoy kind of making out on this one. But at the same time, it's good for me because I get to extend it. And like I said, I know I'll be needing that. But yeah.
Kev, you look good today.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Your scar is pretty prominent.
Oh, no, is it?
Scars are for badasses.
Yeah. Maybe I'll button up a little.
You have to go cholo style with just the top button.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll do like the Mexican style. I put a real camera on instead of just the webcam on your Mac, you know? I don't know if that's a good move or a bad move. Clearly, if you're looking at my scar, it's a bad move.
No, I don't know why you're covering it up. I think the scar is a good look.
All right, fuck yeah. Let me just undo it. All right, we're going to begin today.
My appendectomy scar is like the one fucking like thing I like about my body. Everything else can fucking get rid of, but I'll keep the scar.
That was a sad statement.
Yeah, looks like I got stabbed once.
Do you just like when you're at the beach, you like, you know, like try to show that shit off? Like,
oh. Dude, you can't even see it anymore, man, because it's like below my beer gut now.
It's like
a fucking breast implant scar where like they cut under the titty and put the silicone in. Like you just can't even see it anymore.
This is getting sadder and sadder.
Yeah, no, it just keeps going down.
And I mean, we're all hitting the holidays. It's about that time to put on like 10 pounds, right?
I mean, the holidays aren't gonna like a change of anything for me anymore.
Yeah,
Like, there's nothing.
See,
there's
like,
no.
Like, I definitely feel it, and I, like, you guys just live and just like get not Kevin as much, but like you and Dan like get fat and just like embrace it. And I'm just like, I look in the mirror and like I pinch my stomach and go like, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" Like it's like,
I don't change it anymore myself.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not to the same extent with me, but I don't feel good about myself, Spags. I'm like definitely an out of shape piece of shit. When I get up in the morning and I groan just from like standing up, I'm like, this is terrible. But again, it's not enough to make me change anything. You, I feel that's, like, are motivated, Spags.
It's like when I did that Carrie Fisher blog, I think it was yesterday, where she had the all-time quote where she said, "I don't like myself when I'm eating healthy and happy. It's just not me." Like, that's me. Right. I don't like being healthy and happy. It's not the way I operate. It doesn't work for me. I'm much better just in misery.
I think it's more of, like, a shame thing, though. Like, Spags will, like you said, pinch his belly and be so ashamed he'll change his lifestyle, where I'm like, man, that sucks, but it's what it is.
And you're locked in anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. I mean, at this point, I'm really scared of that. I'm you know, carrying the torch for skinny fat. But there are times where I will, like, try to eat healthy for, like, a burst of time here and there. Or I'll just, you know, I make a small attempt. When I'm, like, not sleeping and stressed and kind of, like, fuck everything, I don't think it's going to go well for your boy.
You have to keep it proportional to your wife, though, so she doesn't feel bad if you look too good.
Dude, that's
good
so true.
If you look too bad.
That's true in any stage of the relationship, especially the kid stuff. Man, so it is. You know what? We're just going to do it. We're in the trust tree. If you listened to Mail Time this week, I was talking about the ways, the things you can do to get a baby out when they're not coming out. And the main way is to have sex.
Mm.
Both mothers, my mother-in-law, my mother, talking to both of us, were like, you know, there's one way to make it happen, right? I'm like, oh, stop talking about this. Well, two nights ago, I took one for the team, and I did it. I did my duty as a husband and a father, and it was, let me tell you, it was traumatic. It was awkward. I'm not the same man after that. I'll never look at sex the same again.
You're like those Koreans in that Korean porn blog. Where
oh, yeah.
They witnessed American porn for the first time. Uh-huh. Like, you witnessed pregnant sex.
Yep. It was hard because, you know, maybe I can't speak for everyone else, but my, like, kind of, you know, go-to move, missionary, and I'm just like laying on top of you. You know what I mean? I'm kind of holding myself up, but I'm basically just like putting my weight on you, you know? And I couldn't do that because there's obviously a baby there. So, bro, I was like planking the whole time, holding myself completely up, which, you know me, I'm not exactly the strongest guy in the world. Now, I'm not saying it lasted that long, but it lasted longer than it should have because you really can't get a rhythm going. So, and she's all, like, sensitive and insecure, and I'm just sitting there. I literally was closing my eyes, like, come, come. It was actually really, in a weird way, completely the opposite of every type of sex I've ever had before, where I'm like, don't come. Try to be good. Like, get into the mood. I was just like, just finish this. And I couldn't. It was crazy. It was a very harrowing experience. So
you were the woman. You were the woman in this. Like, just close your eyes and just like be like, just fucking get this done with.
Yep.
Did you look up like how to do it before? Because I feel like it'd be like Tetris, like when you have like a shitty board and you keep getting the fucking L piece and you're
yes.
like, oh, this doesn't fit right.
It was like I had a Z and a square. It was a Z and a square trying to make a Tetris line. It was not working. I should have looked things up because I was like, all right. Well, I can't get into too much detail, but I was like, yo, all right, I think we should do it this way. And she was like, no, absolutely not. I was like, oh, God, this is terrible. So I just hope that shit works. Because she's gonna keep wanting to do it until this baby comes out. It's going to be...
I see how it works with you because the kid's like, I got to get the fuck out of here because just dicks keep coming out.
I was like... She made a joke. She was like, you might hit her head. And I was like, don't say that. Don't say that. And then I was like, well, you're joking. Like, I can't really hit her head. Right?
Right.
She was like, I think. Like, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
I was overdue, too. And my mom had me after eating White Castle. So I just came out like a diarrhea White Castle shit, I guess.
Oh, my God. I thought I was sharing too much. And then Spag just came over the top. Your mom literally dumped you out, dude.
Yeah, she just had a couple sliders and was like, this has to come out now. Like, that's just what her body told her. So
bites in your face.
I love White Castles though. Delicious.
This isn't my show. Not my KFC radio.
All right. Let's jump right into things. We got some tweets, we got some emails, and of course some voicemails. We're gonna begin today with the reverse 6-12-18-24.
Hey guys, so this is going off of the 6-12-18-24 challenge. I know you guys are sick and tired of talking about it, but this is a little bit different of a spin. So it's days you would go without, so 6 days, 12 days, whatever. And the four things that you can't do is jerk off, watch sports, eat meat, and drink. So I just wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts on that was. Thanks.
All right, so you're picking the number of days that you will abstain from the following things: masturbation, eating meat, watching sports, drinking booze. 6, 12, 18, 24. This one takes a lot more thought because...
It's a lot harder.
Yeah, because the other one, you just have certain physical limitations where you're just like, well, it has to be this because I can't do that. This one, I feel like you can do all of those things for 24 days. It's not outside the realm of possibility. So it's kind of more about, like, your personal preference. Spags, we'll start with you.
So we're saying going 24 days without. I mean, like, I'm a weed guy, so I think booze would be the one I would just suck it up and go 24 days without right away. Jerking off, I feel like that's the one you got to go shortest amount of time with because you can start becoming, like, a different person. For either way, like, some people, they use it better, like George on Seinfeld, and he becomes, like, a genius. And other people just get angry and, like, start snapping on every little thing. And I think I'd probably be the latter part.
Oh, yeah.
So you go with that.
Yeah.
The other two, I can kind of take it or leave them. Like, it's going to be miserable anyway, so you might as well, like, come out a little lean and save on the meat.
I was going to say that you get this double benefit with not drinking. And, you know, you're going to lose some weight. You're going to feel better. So if you're going to have to go through with this challenge, maybe you push yourself a little bit. Get rid of the booze and meat. Although, I don't really think meat's bad for you.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about? Meat's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I mean, in moderation, yeah. But, like, it's still, if you cut it out and you're eating leaner as a result.
It's not just red meat, you eat chicken. You have to eat chicken. Well, if you're looking to work out, you have to eat chicken.
Fair point.
Actually, you're right, is that if you cut all meat out, you're probably eating more carbs and shit. You'll actually probably
get better. That's a good point. I still stick with it. Just have, like, a miserable month, and that's it. But at least you're jerking off. It evens out.
I go, It depends on when it is. Like, if I can choose when I do this contest, I'd do it in, like, I guess March, probably. I don't know. But then I'm doing it right now. I go 24 days without booze. I didn't know drinking for a month last year. So it's, I don't, like, drink a lot, but when I drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't go home and
beers. Quantity, not quality. Whatever.
Yeah. When I drink, I'm having, like, 20 beers.
Right.
But I don't have, like, a couple of casual drinks every night or anything like that.
I drink to get drunk.
Right.
So I can and all, but at the same time, I get drunk for, like, social purposes. I don't like the feeling of being drunk. It's not like...
No, I like it.
I don't... I mean, it's a personal thing. I just don't... I'd rather, like, pop some pills and just chill. I like that feeling. I don't like the feeling of being drunk.
But like, I wouldn't drink, like, alone ever. I feel like that's like sad.
Yeah, like being drunk alone does nothing for me.
It makes me happy.
Yeah, and so that's harder for you to give up 24 days then.
No, because I like being miserable.
You're sick. You're just a sick fuck.
No, it would be 6 days jerking off. Because, like, jerking off is like NyQuil. Like, it's kind of, like, impossible to go to sleep without jerking off first. I go 12 sports. Like, especially right now, like, you basically just miss an NFL weekend. There's nothing you must see on, like, a Tuesday night.
That's true.
Pretty much you just miss one NFL weekend. And then I guess I go 18 without meat. That'd be fucking hard, though.
That's tough.
That's really tough, but it's really the only thing I can do. I could eat pasta. I'm fine with pasta and salad.
You could. That's the thing. None of these things are, like, impossible to do. They would just suck.
Yeah.
18 days of no fucking chicken, no meat, no burgers. Ugh. But I think we all can agree that you have to minimize the jerk off.
Yeah, you really do. There are just too many times in a regular day where you're like, I need to come right now. That it just it's really, that's the only one where everything else are desires. This is a legitimate need. This is like this is like not Darwinism, but evolution. Like, you have to come a couple times a day, really, to keep your mind right. And it's, you don't have a choice. That's the biological function. Everything else is like, oh, I'd really like a beer right now, or I'd love a steak. This is, or I'd like to put on the game. This is, I must jerk off, or else I will not be able to do anything else or focus.
I can't even think about the longest amount of time I've gone without jerking off. Like, I know it comes nowhere close to 24 days, but it has to be in the ones of days.
Oh, yeah. Put it this way, I've never not jerked off for any reason other than, like, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, if I want to jerk off, I just do. There's never been a moment where I'm like, I'm going to, like, save that for tomorrow or something. If I'm, like, physically incapacitated and I didn't, like, so be it. But I've never stopped myself willingly, so.
In college, I had a cast up to here that, like, covered my entire hand. So, like, I'm a righty. I couldn't jerk off. I had to do it with my left hand, and it was, like, the fucking weirdest thing because your hand just goes, like, flying off all over the place. Like, like you have, like sclerosis. It's just, like, the weirdest fucking thing. But
you get
it's,
it
like,
done,
it starts to – you get used to it, and you're like, oh, like, I'm proud of myself that I learned how to jerk off again.
It's almost like a different feeling. I kind of –
it's, like, a little stranger-y, but not as, like, confident. Exactly. Like, an incompetent stranger.
It's, like – fuck, what does he have? What's Michael J. Fox at?
Parkinson's.
It's like a stranger with Parkinson's. Like, they have no real motor functions. It's just, it's a different person doing it.
You know what's funny is, like, you end up, like, going with your whole arm. You know what I mean? It's not, like, as much wrist action. You're sore afterwards. But, yeah, it's like jerking off with Parkinson's. We got a tweet here from, this is Dick Martin 69. No, Dick Martini 69. He goes by Absolute Savage. If your dick was an NFL quarterback, who would it be? I'll let you guys give it some thought. I actually pulled up the list of, like, all the quarterbacks right now, and I realized, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Jets fan, I'm the Jets guy on this site, but I realized my dick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because
that's a pretty good one.
It's got, well, is it?
Better than what mine is going to be.
Well, the way I thought of it is, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you watched him the past few weeks, the dude has the heart and the determination to win. And he just doesn't have the skills. I mean, he's out there, like, he's getting concussions, he's scrambling, he's diving head first. He wants it. He just can't really get there. He just doesn't have the God-gifted talent. That's, I feel like my dick. Like, I want to do a good job, and I would love to be proud of my performance, and I'm into it. And I want to get you off. I just don't have the size and the gifts and the competency to do it. So my dick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fights, who were you thinking of?
Luke McCown.
just
people don't even know he exists. And when he gets out there, it's embarrassing.
Spags, you got anybody in mind?
I mean, this is the worst one, but I have a Roethlisberger dick. I feel like we're just, like, you know, I'll put up some good stats sometimes, and you'll have a one game where it's like 120 yards and have to be on the DL for like 5 weeks. Well, like, it's just like my dick has been through so many ups and downs.
I thought I was happy you went that direction instead of the other Roethlisberger
dick. Yeah, sometimes I just end up in a bathroom just doing bad things.
I could see, I bet there's a lot of Tony Romo dicks out there, like, just like, you know, in crunch time, you fail or you get injured and you can't get the job done. I'm trying to think of other QB dicks out there that are probably...
Nobody with a Brady dick would ever admit to having a Brady dick because they'd be like the Tom Brady of dicks. Like, they'd just be classy about it and be like, well, I don't know. I may be a bit of an Aaron Rodgers sometime.
Well said. I like that. Let's get into some more voicemails now. They are brought to you by Jack Threads. It's the holiday season, right? You're buying gifts for everybody else. You're gonna buy some stuff for yourself. You gotta save some money doing it. Treat yourself, get some clothes, get a new wardrobe, save some money while you're doing it so you have money left over for everybody else. Go to jackthreads.com. Girls, if you're listening, you wanna get some clothes for your boyfriend, Jack Threads. You wanna get some clothes for your dad, your brother, any guy in your life that you need to get gifts for, you wanna get clothes for, jackthreads.com. I mean, they got legit clothes like 100% cashmere sweaters. They've got knock-around clothes like sweatpants and T-shirts. They've got everything you need. They got blazers, suits, accessories. They got it all. And you're going to save money doing it. You don't have to go to the stores. You don't have to wait on lines. You don't have to deal with parking at the mall. You just shop online. They have a chat box where you can actually talk to people right then and there. if you got questions about sizes and styles and all that stuff. So it's a no-brainer. I'm trying to help give you the gift of style for the holiday season. So go to jackthreads.com and use the code KFC at checkout for 20% off on your first purchase. That means if you're buying it, if you bought before, you got to figure something else out. Your first purchase, 20% off. Some restrictions apply. Jackthreads, style smart. Let's do some voicemails. The double dipper of dating. This guy is a weirdo.
Hey guys, Matt from Boston calling. So the other night, I was out with a couple of my buddies. We were just out at the bar, just hanging out, talking. And so I've been dating my girlfriend for about 2 years now, and they're both single. So they were talking about dating, and one of my buddies brings up this new idea that he's been doing. He calls it double dipping. So what he'll do is if he's going to go on a date, he always schedules another date for the same night. So what his typical move is, he'll go out on one day like 3 o'clock and then get done with that one and go pick the girl up and go to dinner at 7. And the logic behind it, or so he says, is that if one of the dates goes bad, chances are the other one's going to go good. He's just increasing his percentage. I was thinking about it, and I think this is kind of a pretty fucking crazy move, but I don't know, it kind of does make sense. So I figured I'd call you idiots and see what you had to say about it. Appreciate the
The double dip. They got two single guys here playing the field. This dude goes on dates at like 3 o'clock and then 7 o'clock. He schedules a doubleheader every time he schedules one date. He schedules two to just increase his percentage. I don't mind the increasing your percentage. I think it's absolutely just a numbers game as far as getting laid and finding chicks you like. I think the afternoon date is kind of weird. I would try to increase my percentage in other ways, like just the number of days that I'm going on dates, not necessarily two in one day. Spags, we begin with you. You're good with these things.
Yeah. A lot of people do the double dating thing, like especially in New York, because I've known girls who've dabbed, like especially in the early days of Tinder, were doing like 3 Tinder dates a night, not like hooking up, but like going to get a drink, then going to get a drink, then going to get a drink. And if one of them turned out well, they would bail on whatever was next, I guess. But like people do that shit all the time. I think it's got kind of shady pool. Like it's like you're asking for something bad to happen to you because it's just such a dick thing to do to be like, here's the cap on our day. Here's where you're done in my life for now, and there's going to be somebody else after.
It's a little bit like you're tempting fate. You're kind of like pushing the envelope, and there's going to be like the dating gods are going to like shit all over you for it. But yeah. I do think there's definitely something to be said to just maximizing your chances. So if you're going to just be like mathematical about it, I get it. Fights, would you ever double dip?
This is the dumbest shit I ever heard. He does one in the afternoon.
Yeah, three. He said like 3 and then 7. That's what I think is weird. If you can do 2 at night, God bless you. If you want to go like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of just like the weekends, I get it. But I mean, the afternoon date is a bizarre move. I guess on like a Saturday or a Sunday, if you're day drinking, that's not crazy. But
well, the only people who go to like you go to lunch with at 3 p.m. are like your nana, like.
And you ain't trying to fuck your nana.
No one's sucking dick before the sun goes down if you're not at Mardi Gras or spring break. Like, the best case scenario for that date is like, you get her number and get a second date. Like, no one's fucking when the sun's out. That's just not happening.
I actually
not on a normal Saturday or something like that.
Like brunch dates. Because, like, you drink a lot at brunch. I mean, this sounds date rapey. Roethlisberger dick coming back into play. Like, you drink a lot at brunch. You get, like, loose. It's, like, better. Whereas, like, if you go out for a night drink, sometimes it's like, oh, I have work in the morning, blah, blah, blah. If you're doing, like, brunch, it's, like, a little more.
Brunch is.
I'm adapting the strategy over time.
Brunch is the loophole to get around what you're talking about, fights. I agree with you that it's a much greater challenge to get your dick in someone's mouth when the sun is up.
Dude, blowjobs are the werewolf. They don't come out with the moon. They fucking, dude, I don't care if, unless you're like actually dating this person or married this person, they do not exist when the sun is
out. Oh no, John, you don't get your dick sucked in the daytime when you're married, okay? Trust me on that. There is a sweet spot where you're like.
Well, I mean, unless she's contractually obligated to.
Right.
That maybe. But like, if it's just some fucking Tinder chick and you're taking a brunch at 11 a.m. on a Sunday, she's not fucking putting your dick in her mouth. It's just not happening.
Is it worth trying, even giving it a shot?
Yeah, see, like, I think that's the thing. You always zig, like, when other people zag, and that's what is more valuable than just being like, you know, I'm just going with the night
thing.
You
know, that's a good point, is that, you know, the best way to impress a girl is, like, keep her on her toes, throw some shit at her that she's never seen. Day sex could be a whole new world.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, this is so new and exciting. Like, it's like a whole new world thing from Aladdin in her mind. She's being taken on a magic carpet ride of sucking dick at 5.
I'm looking at my screen right now, and it's almost like a devil and an angel right now, but it's more just like hopes and dreams and practical side of things, where Feidelberg's just like, you're not going to bang this chick during the day, and Spags is like, come on, let's give it a shot. You might.
That's just childlike wonder. Like, there's just it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, like, go to the North Pole, hang out with Santa Claus, get your dick sucked during the day. That's basically the same territory. So, Spags, will you maybe attempt the double dip for some scientific purposes?
I've done it before. I've hooked up with 3 girls in one day.
Oh,
like, this is like not even a bragging thing. But like, no, it's not. Like, but because it was the most stressful day of my life. Like,
yeah,
it was, like,
I agree with that.
You got to turn them out, and you got to walk them out, and you got to, like, it was like a very Zach Morris thing. Like, we're all getting caught at the mats. Like,
but it's fun. Like, if you hook up with like 2 chicks in a day, or like, you know, you bang a couple chicks in like a 24-hour period. There's some. I don't know how people can do it regularly.
There are people who can do that. Like, guys who, like, can make a career off that. I felt like the worst human being the one time that happened. I was like, that's not.
It's not even a conscious thing. It's just a laziness thing for me, where it's like, you gotta just be on and hiding it, and I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not
spraying cologne on the bed, and then the cologne smells, and it's
terrible at that stuff, like, leaving clothes behind and shit. I was like, this is not for me. I'm going to go back to porn and pizza. I can't keep up with this. I'm out. Would you rather?
All right, guys. Pretty simple. Would you rather have wet socks for an entire year or have a cold for an entire year? And the wet socks, it doesn't matter if you're wearing sandals or weird Feidelberg shoes. You have to wear socks. All right.
Fights, you had a quick reaction to that one.
Oh, this is an easy one, because I went Monday night and went and got a couple of drinks with some friends, and one of them was sick, and she's like, I don't get sick a lot, so I'm really bad at being sick. I'm like whiny and whatever, and I don't remember ever being healthy.
Right.
I have been steadily sick for like, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing this. 1 year is a fucking cakewalk. Yeah. I've been doing this for the better part of a decade. I've been kind of sick.
I'm coughing right now. I'm sick all the time. I've been tired, and I've been sick since I was about like 18. Like, basically, once you get to college, you get those germs in your life, you start drinking way too much, and you're just doomed. My wife's like, I don't think my wife's been sick in like a decade. I'm like, I can't even imagine that. I'm like, you wake up in the morning and you feel totally fine.
Who the fuck? Fuck anyone like that.
Right? I'm like,
wake
fuck
up and like, it's
you.
Funny and you're happy and you feel good and you're ready to attack the day. Fuck you.
Dude, she's 1,000 months pregnant, so now she steps out of bed. She's like, oh, this hurts and my stomach hurts. I don't feel well. I'm like, yeah.
Fucking shit, man.
I'm pregnant all the fucking time, basically.
I wake up with, like, a sore spleen because I slept on. Like, that's how fucking fat and out of shape I am. My organs hurt. That's what it's like.
Yeah, so I'm with you. That was my first thought as well. Not to mention the thought of wet socks for eternity for a year.
I don't give a fuck about that either. I do both of these.
Oh, no. Wet socks is terrible, John. John, are you all right right now?
I mean,
You're down in the dumps, it seems like, right now. This is a particularly bleak episode for you.
I don't think so. See, this is my problem.
This is actually an intervention for you right now.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's like a holiday thing, like lonely for the holidays or seasonal affective disorder or whatever that's called.
Oh, I 1,000% have that. Yeah. That's no joke. My dad actually, I actually had a pretty good Thanksgiving weekend because my dad got one of these like, I don't know, like LED, like vitamin D lights, because he gets up so early that like he has his breakfast and reads the paper in front of this light that's like supposed to give you
the happy light.
It's like, yeah, it's like the shit that the sun gives you.
Is it like a tanning salon light?
It's just this little triangle shaped thing that he puts on the kitchen table when he's eating breakfast.
And so I would just sit in front of that for, like, hours.
Dad, I'm not happy yet. This thing's not working, Dad.
And, but, like, I'll be honest. It was like a pretty good 4 day. Not having to work may have played a significant part in that.
I was going
to
say,
but
dude.
It was a pretty solid 4 day stretch.
It's not the triangle light. It's that you didn't have to deal with Portnoy for 4 days. But the triangle light was helping. We didn't even do Thanksgiving talk. Apparently, Feidelberg had a good one. Spags, how was yours?
My mom got engaged, so that's weird.
Oh,
my
parents, shit. That's kind of weird, no?
Yeah, they're like a late in life. My parents were late in life divorced when I was like 25. So then my mom has been dating this guy for like 3 years, I guess. And they're getting engaged, and it's going to be a real working class Long Island wedding. So that's going to be something.
Boy. Was it like at the dinner table?
No, it was like the day before, but I had to hear the afterglow and whatever. And it was interesting. Like, I mean, he's like super nice and whatever, but like they're going to have. He sold Amway. Like, he did like a lot of these really shitty jobs that I had, like. He's a nice guy, but, like, I associate with someone, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. And and they're going to get married, like, on the side of the house. And it's like, oh, like, please, like, can we class it up a little? Like, I don't know. It's like, I went to high school with, like, all these rich Jewish kids, and then my mom's going to get married on the side of the house.
That was great. You didn't hold back on that one there, but
yeah, I take it the guy's not a school league.
No, his son didn't know like Barstool either, so I was like, fuck him then, like, you know, it's not gonna get back.
Well, I just gotta give a shout out to my boy John Fratt, one of our most loyal listeners. He had a pedophile priest at his Thanksgiving. So Spags, don't worry about that. I was thinking about it for podcast purposes and just blog purposes, like, what's the worst, you know, family experience you had on the holidays and shit. And he was texting me over the break, and he was like, dude, this guy came to our dinner. He was, like, kind of weird. I ended up looking him up afterwards, like, kicked out of the church, caught for touching kids as a priest. And he was breaking bread with him on Thanksgiving. So,
well, what food did he bring though? Because I feel like that would affect my opinion on him.
So, like, if he brings some like banging ass stuffing, you're like, yeah, whatever, bud. Yeah, but sure. The past, like, is the past.
Or like big cookies. Yeah. Like, I brought big cookies, and I felt like that was like a VIP thing. I was like, oh, like, these are fancy. These are huge.
That is good. That's legit. I would overlook a lot of things. I don't know about pedophilia, but
that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot.
Yeah,
that's a priest though. That's like telling LeBron not to dribble a basketball.
Yeah, that's true. It's like it's kind of in your blood, but. I don't really want that at my Thanksgiving ever. So that might, if you got a worse holiday story than that, either this year or previous years, if you can beat that, email me, tweet me, let me know, because you've got some story to fucking tell then. By the time you listen to this, it will have already gone off, but it's still a funny topic to talk about anyway. The Wiz is on NBC tonight, Thursday night. Here's a voicemail about that.
Hey boys, how's it going? So, pretty simple question. Saw Creed the other night, and thought it was...
This one's about Creed. There's another one about The Wiz.
And thought it was amazing. Big Michael B. Jordan fan. So it got me thinking, who are your top five favorite black actors of all time? So, I personally would have to go with Denzel, Morgan Freeman, Samuel L. Jackson... Don Cheadle, number four, and then, because I do think he's going to be a big star, I'd actually put Michael B. Jordan, five. Will Smith and Jamie Foxx, those would probably be two guys kind of on the outside, but I do love them too, so what do you guys think?
Favorite black actors of all time, again, Feidelberg, you were reacting as the voicemail was being played. I mean, this is a great question for three white guys, because it's just going to be like, name the cast of The Wire, Denzel, Morgan Freeman. Like, it's going to be the very generic answers here. So, Fights, who you got?
I mean, he left out Idris Elba.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that... I mean, that's a racist answer.
It's not a racist answer. How is it a racist answer saying I like this black actor?
Yeah, no, that's racist. Like, he's a good actor, but, like, every white guy in the world is going to say that right now.
Dude, I don't know. I don't watch blaxploitation films. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say. I don't know the underground black actor scene. I know the guys in Blockbuster.
That's my point.
Family Matters. Reginald Vell Johnson.
That's a good one. That's an old school one.
Mm-hmm. That dude can't possibly be one of your favorite black actors.
He means a lot to me.
Dude.
That's like fucking saying, like, I don't know. Fucking.
Well, if you're going for the nostalgia vote, it's certainly up there.
That's like putting Mark Paul Gosselin in your first top five white actors. Like, it's just, well, you're just an idiot. You're wrong if that's in your top five.
You're just being crazy. You're racist and crazy.
No, bullshit, dude. You gave me shit for liking his last TV show, so don't tell me I'm not an MPG fan.
What show was that? There was a lawyer, right?
Yeah. I forget what it was called. Franklin and Bash. It's a fucking great show. So don't tell me I don't like him. I'm just not an idiot. He's not in my top five.
I mean, you have to go Denzel for the body of work. He's got to be up in there. Will Smith sucks now, but was awesome for a long time.
Will Smith doesn't really suck. He just doesn't do movies.
After Earth. I mean, I haven't seen
After Earth was bad. Like, he's done, like, I think, like, I actually looked it up. Me and my dad were talking about it when we saw the Concussion trailer. He's done, like, three movies since 2008.
They've all stunk, right? Focus, yeah. You said it was terrible.
Focus was some dog shit.
Yeah. After Earth. And there was another one that was, like, real terrible. So I get what you're saying, but if you're 0 for your last three in a big way. And I don't think that Concussion movie is going to be good. That accent is terrible. That's going to bother me the whole time.
I think it's fine. I'm not an expert in fucking African dialects, but it sounded fine to me.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was good or bad, but it just is like...
I watched the Concussion trailer this weekend when I had just watched Blood Diamond, and it seemed to be a pretty flawless transition for me.
I mean, you know, you are the king of black people right now. You're not racist at all. You probably know the African dialects as well. I'm not going to challenge you on that.
To go on, like, a small tangent, so Michael B. Jordan was on Bill Simmons' podcast. I know we're not supposed to like Bill Simmons, but he does a good
job. No, I fucking like Bill Simmons. I like Bill Simmons. I don't know where this thing came from.
It's just Portnoy.
So there you go. So it just seems like we're supposed to hate him, but, like, I think he does a great podcast. He did one thing with Michael B. Jordan where Michael B. Jordan was saying about how, like, they don't write, like, good scripts for black actors. So, like, it's always the same black actors, like, age 20 to 45, going to audition for, like, Fruitvale Station or any role. And I was thinking, like, can I write, like, a black screenplay? Like, can we collectively do that and make it authentic and good enough?
No, that's also not allowed.
Or would we even be, like, yeah, would we just be, like, racist?
That would be so racist. The first, you put the pen to the paper, like, the kid who grew up without a father, boom, you're racist. Like, a black guy can write that, a white guy.
It transcends, like, time and space, and they're like, this is the picture of our generation, it's just me, they're like... with, like, a white smile.
That would be an awesome curveball if, you know, at the red carpet and everyone's Oscar buzz and it's just like, and here's our actor, Chris Spagg, or our director, Chris Spaggs, and it's like, what the fuck? I actually think that even if it was good and even if it was well acted, it wouldn't be considered that. I think they'd be like, no, this is, you can't have that.
That's sad.
It's racist.
It's a sad reflection on society, I said.
And this ties in nicely to the first question I was talking about. This comes from a tweet. Let me see if I can find it real quick to give the guy credit. I don't know. I don't know who it was. But The Wiz is on tonight, a completely black adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. Is The Wiz racist?
No. None of them are even people.
Okay, correct. We are talking about a lion and a tin man and a scarecrow. But there can be white scarecrows and black scarecrows. And this is clearly...
The move to be, like, another network would have been to do an all-white version at the same time and have them go head-to-head. Like, to do, like a Fox Newsy thing and just go full race baiting.
Well, that's where I think, like, people always do this with, like, white and black, where they're like, if you had a white entertainment channel instead of BET, that'd be racist. It's like, yeah. But none of those things don't ever apply because, like, we weren't oppressed and... You know what I mean? That's not apples to apples. Plus, black people just taking The Wizard of Oz and making it a fucking party is, like, what's the harm in that? If there's anybody out there who thinks this is racist and has a problem with it, you're racist. Like, if you get fired up about, like, black people portraying The Wizard of Oz, you're probably the racist one.
It's more racist that, like, Empire gets, like, 50 million viewers a week and nobody's like, you know what? We should do, like, another black show. They're just like, here, do the fucking Wiz,
we
guys.
We got one. It's kind of ridiculous, but we're going to force you to watch it anyway, and that's all you get. You get the one black show. That is true. That's very racist.
That's the most expensive advertising program on television. More so than NFL football is Empire.
Really?
Like, their ad slots. Yeah, Ravel tweeted it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
As long as it's legit and does whatever they tell them to do. Which sounded racist, too.
Yeah.
Can't win. Dude, can't write that screenplay now.
I knew it was, like, breaking records and shit, but that is... That's impressive.
Yeah, it's more expensive than like Monday Night Football to advertise on Empire.
Good for them. Good for the black people.
Good for Terrence Howard. He's a fucking crazy person. Like, he's legitimately not a good guy. He's
shit out of his wives and stuff. He's
kind of gets a free pass on that one, no?
Yeah. They let him go pretty good on that.
Yeah. It's just, again, though, because it's like, well, this is the only show we've got. You know what I mean? But even, like, Hustle and Flow, like, he's just Crash. Everybody kind of just forgets that he's, like, a terrible, terrible person. Speaking of, Clem showed me the Wikipedia page the other day about the Peyton Manning sexual assault thing.
Oh, yeah, when he was in Tennessee and sat on the trainer's face?
Yeah, that goes way under the radar.
Oh, well, it's just because when it happened, there wasn't internet. Like, no one's really going back to dig through the times. Like, if that happened today, like, he wouldn't get drafted.
I knew there was something.
Well, he'd obviously get drafted because he's awesome. But you know what I mean. He'd get the Johnny Manziel treatment.
I knew there was something, but when I read that, like, and they put it, like, in legal terms where it was, like, he rubbed his, like, anal area and testicles all over her face.
He basically, I'll put it this way. He basically did what James Dean is accused of doing, and that dude got kicked out of the porn industry.
The porn industry, where you're supposed to be doing sick things with your dick, and he got kicked out of that. Peyton would be in jail, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the all-time under the
credibility to my story, though, that he would do that as a man.
That's true.
He might be, would clearly took off his brother.
That got some steam, I think, last year or so. It got a little press, but that's it.
I mean, still one of the all-time under-the-rug jobs.
If you got assaulted before the internet, like, you better have 50 other chicks who got assaulted with you, like Cosby style. Right. Otherwise, don't give a shit.
Right. It's so true. We'll get into a couple more tweets, but like I said, it's the holiday season, which is awesome, but it also means it's going to get cold, it's going to get nasty, it's going to be snow. You're not going to want to walk around, you're going to want to take an Uber around, right? That means there's a lot of money to be made right now if you're driving with Uber. You got probably, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times the amount of customers that need to get to and from places in the cold weather. So there's no better time to make money, there's also no better time where you need the money. Holiday season's around, you're spending money on your girlfriend or your wife or your family, money flying out the door, paychecks going to presents. You got a little bit of free time and want to make up the difference? Drive with Uber. All you need is a license and a car, a little bit of free time, and you got to like money, which I think we all do. So go to drivewithuber.com. You can be your own boss. It's very easy to sign up. If you have a smartphone, you download their software. You start driving. It's as simple as that, and you can make life-changing money right now. So head over to Drive with Uber and start making life-changing money today. We got a chick. We got to work a chicken.
Hey guys, I just had a general question about looking at boobs while you're talking to people. So I just got done with an interview. And I noticed throughout the 45-minute interview, like, 5 times that he was looking at my boobs. And not trying to be a harder, like, ooh, what is this shit? But it was, like, blatantly obvious. So I was just wondering, when you know you're not supposed to be looking at somebody's boobs, you have, like, attacked it, what you do to not look at them, you just go for it and look at them anyways, or how do you deal with that situation? Thanks. Bye.
Looking at boobs. I don't really quite understand her question. Because it's like, if you want to look at them, you just look at them. If you don't care about getting caught, you just look at them. I guess her question is more, what are the guy's tactics to look at it and get away with it? More to the point, this is just one of those questions where you just realize how differently guys and girls think. Girls calling up being like, how do guys look at boobs? What? What does that even mean? You know, the old Seinfeld adage is like, it's like the sun. You get a sense of it, but you never look directly at it. Or, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of guys out there just fucking look at your tits and don't care. Fights, looking at girls' boobs. Your thoughts in general.
I don't give a fuck, but I don't stare either. But I do like an ocular pat-down when we first start talking. It's almost like how you have to go through TSA and they just check you out before, make sure you're good to go on the flight. I look, I give a blatant look, and then I go, okay. Conversation continues. That's it. Like, I just got to see what I'm working with, see what you're working with, and then that's it.
So you don't care about getting caught at all?
Because it's not even like, I'm so quick, like, I don't get
it's like impossible to get caught. I take a quick peek and then I look up again.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying. Okay.
I don't think you don't really get caught just looking. Like, I'll look at her fucking.
Well, that's where I disagree. I think a lot of times guys think they're being discreet and they're not.
Yeah. And in a work setting like that, too, you can't just be fucking gawking at her or, like, whatever.
Yeah, wait, like, you can get caught staring. You can't get caught just being like, oh, I looked at that. I looked at your purse, and I looked at your tits, and I looked at your hair, and I just looked at the things. I'm just observing what's in front of me.
Right. I wasn't observing just your tits. I was checking out your ass. I was checking out your hair. I was just objectifying the whole thing, the whole presentation.
I mean, I do that when I talk to my friends too. Like, oh, my friend walks in the room, like, I'll look at his shoes. I'll like fucking like look like, whoa, what kind of sneakers you got? I'll look at what I'm living in. Like, look at the world around me. If tits happen to be there, then they happen to be there.
I hear you. I'm just saying a lot of chicks would probably be like, even if it's
Gonna slap you because you took
No, of course not. But chicks are gonna, even if it's a quick glance, they're gonna be like, oh, you just checked out my tits.
I mean, there's a difference too between a quick glance and like a gawk. Like, that sounded like if you notice it five times and there's five separate incidents, like, I feel like that's more of a thing where like he's staring with his mouth open like a weirdo, like a caveman thing.
I was gonna say, I think that's a weirdo. I think if you're doing that, if you're really gawking and you're drooling and shit like that, you're probably like a deviant.
I think you're the opposite of a deviant. Because if a fucking, the top half of a pair of tits is that fucking appealing to you, then you got a problem. Like, you're like, I don't even think it's deviant behavior. I feel like deviants are just like, oh, that's mostly skin. Okay.
I lost you. If you think that if a chick has like a good rack and she and a guy's staring at it, that he's not being creepy?
Oh, I'm thinking a deviant, like, I'm thinking, like, an uber pervert who, like, fucks all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm thinking, like...
Just like a pervert.
Yeah.
Like a guy who jerk off to.
More to the point is, you probably don't get laid a lot. Like, right, you're probably in, like, a big drought, and you're like, look at those tits, and... Yeah.
Deviant doesn't mean you get laid, it just means you're a weirdo. Like, you could just be, like, you could be a guy who, like, jerks off on the train, like, looking at a girl, and you're still a deviant, even if you're not, like, fucking.
Either way, you shouldn't be gawking, and if you are, it's not a good look. I'm just going to say that. Like, I could see a lot of guys being like, I don't fucking care, whatever. And it's like, just be better. Like, be more discreet. Play the game a little bit. Just be more, like, sly with it.
I'll dart your eyes all over the place.
One initial look, and then after that, if I look again, it's your fault. We're like, like, if you're being animated while talking or something and they're like, all over the place and I have to look again, that's on you. That's not my problem.
And that's also, she probably wants that and is doing that on purpose, so two can play that game. What I am absolutely shameless about, I will, if I'm crossing paths with a chick, I will, like, completely turn around and look at her ass. I, like, do not care at all. I'll, like, turn, I'll walk backwards. That I don't really care about. Face to face, looking at your boobs, I'll be a little more sly about it.
I had a roommate like that in college who I've never really been like the guy who's like, dude, hot girl, hot girl, hot girl. Cause I don't really give a fuck about a fully clothed hot girl. Like, unless you're going to go talk to her, like, don't tackle me to point her out to me.
I hear you. I just like looking at a good butt though. If I think you're going to have a good butt, I want to see it.
This kid was so obsessive with it though. He would call out chicks that were no bullshit over a block away. And then we'd get there and it's like a fucking skateboarder. it got to a point where we were friends for like 3 years. It got to a point where after a year, I had to tell him, dude, settle down with this. Just get within, like, so your 20/20 vision can see her. And then I'll allow you to alert me to the woman.
That's kind of the guy I'm talking about with the boobs, too. It's like, you're so excited about this. Why? Just to see, like you said, a fully clothed chick. Let's not, but I mean, I just said to myself that I'll do a 360 and look at a chick's butt.
I enjoy like seeing, I have like shitty vision from far. So like, I like when you see a girl and you're like, oh, is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad? Because you see the general form and you're like, these are the parts I know usually can add up to somebody I would find attractive. And you get close and sometimes it's like a 50-year-old woman and you're like, ah.
that is a little concerning when that happens where you're like, oh, I was way off on that one.
Like, it's weird when they're dressed like a little teenage kid, like in a North Face fleece and like little pants and Ugg boots. And it's like, come on, man. Like, you're grown. You don't even have ovaries anymore. That doesn't work anymore. I don't know.
Let's do a couple tweets here in almost like rapid fire fashion. Would you rather be half your height or double your weight. This comes from at John Lazzotti.
Oh, wait.
Double your weight?
Yeah.
So you'd be what, like four bills?
I'd be a little over four bills.
440? 440?
I'd be probably around probably the 440 range.
440, right.
I think that's still better than being. I mean,
okay, let's not say half your height because then you're like,
yeah, because then you're circus freak. Like,
let's say you're like the perfect
one tenth of your height.
Perfect tie-in. Turtle from Entourage is 5'4". You saw that picture with him and Porzingis where he was like,
yeah.
So he's 5'4". That's tiny. That's small. I didn't know he was that fucking small. So let's say 5'3". You an inch shorter than Turtle,
yeah.
Or double your weight.
Probably double my weight still, but 5'3", I think I'd rather be like 5'3" than 5'6".
Because then you have like a novelty kind of.
You're like alarmingly small.
Yeah.
It's like you're a thing.
Yeah.
It's kind
of. I agree with that. You can be like, I'm the funny little guy. Where when you're in the middle, you're just like, I'm
yeah,
short.
Yeah, 5'6", you're just little.
I almost kind of think that about the fat thing too. Like if you're the big, fat, jolly guy. That's easier than being like the middle of the road fat dude who was just like, oh, you're a slob.
Not at 400 pounds, though. That's like, you can't even live, I think.
Yeah, I think I might rather be 5'3 than 440.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because people will fuck a 5'3 guy.
Yeah.
Like 440.
Okay, so it has to be a little. It can't be half your height because if you're fucking 3 feet tall, it's just ridiculous. Right? I mean, no one's going to be 3 feet tall over being. I don't know. Morbidly
so I think
fat.
It's like, I think it's either you take off a tenth of your height or add a tenth of your weight. I feel like that's a more normal.
Yeah, it would be normal, but like, we're not normal here on KFC Radio Specs.
Because if it's like, just nobody wants to be that fat. Like, I'd rather be a short guy. I could still be like stylish and like can be successful. It might be more successful because you overcompensate and become like Napoleon.
Like when you're 440, your body is so big that you like trap farts. Like you're like you ever like take off like a pair of ski pants and oh that's my fart from like. 2 p.m. That's like when you're that fat, like when you're like just naked, you'll just find a pocket of fart.
You're like a gas pocket underground in the earth, just coming
like under
out
like a hip roll. It's like, oh, that's like Tuesday's fart.
So would you rather be? Let's go back to his original then. Half your height.
Nah, I'd be 440 over that.
So you'd rather be fat than be like a full blown midget. But if you're talking about like.
I think like 3 feet's even smaller than a midget.
Yeah,
I think
3 feet's like you're a fucking pygmy.
Right.
Three you're feet, like a shitty midget.
Like Peter Dinklage is like, get the fuck out of my way, you midget.
Okay. All right. So there we go. Dinklage height or 440?
Still got 440.
I think it's still 440 too.
After you brought up Dinklage, I was kind of like, yo, Dinklage is a fucking pimp. Like, you can
yeah,
still be an actor.
The most famous midget.
Yeah, but.
You're just a regular old midget, Kevin. You're like, if Dinklage is Dinklage, you're like some TLC fucking stupid ass Little People Big World
That's
midget.
My point, bro. I'll go get myself a Little People Big World. I'll go be an extra every time there's an Elf Christmas movie. You can live as a midget. You can exploit being a midget.
You know who people don't fuck? The extras in an Elf Christmas movie.
You know who people definitely don't fuck? The people who have farts trapped in their fucking rolls. You can fuck another midget. You can't fuck another fat girl. Like that Korean couple I blog about who has never had sex because they're so fat.
Guess what?
What?
I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say I buy a hooker, but I can buy hookers as a midget, too.
Yeah, you can always buy a hooker.
Remember how everybody made fun of when Big Cat looked big in the one thing and, like, the photo and he looked, like, very round and Kool-Aid man-ish? That was, like, 270 at worst. Like, you're tacking another almost 200 pounds onto that.
Right. I know. It's almost like you can't live.
That wasn't 270 at worst. That picture was low threes, bud. I was 325.
I don't know what happened there, how he came out that big in that picture, but God, that was fucking hilarious.
Dan's like 250 on his own. You think that picture only added 20 pounds?
That's true.
I mean, but sometimes that like last 20 pounds is the worst, where you're like, oh man,
yeah.
Like this.
You really fall off a cliff in the final 20. Yeah, when you're 440, you get to the point where you almost can't even sleep. Unless you get yourself a Casper mattress. I have heard from the fat community that even people who are disgustingly obese with farts trapped in their skin sleep like a baby on a Casper mattress. I got one. I don't happen to be morbidly obese, but I sleep like a baby every single night. I don't know what I'm going to do when I got this kid and I got to wake up when she wakes up, because I sleep through everything on my Casper mattress. It's a good blend of, like, the memory foam with the regular, like, springy mattress, so you don't, like, sink into it too much, but you're not, like, laying on a trampoline either. It's a very good balance. So, skinny, fat, guy, girl, midgets. If you're a midget, you're going to have a blast on a Casper mattress. You can roll over for days. You got tons of room. They got mattresses of all sizes, no matter how big or small you are. And if you head over to Casper.com and use the promo code KFC right now, they'll get $50 off your mattress purchase. They're already pretty good prices to begin with because they cut out the middleman. So $50 off, you're going to end up getting yourself a nice mattress for like $800. So head over to Casper.com and use the promo code KFC. Terms and conditions apply. All right, that was supposed to be rapid fire, but we got a little tangent there. Another one from Ben Millett. You guys are on an old MTV episode of Room Raiders. What are you most afraid a girl will find? It's just copious amounts of cum on, like, everything, right? That the black light test for, if you don't know it because you're young and we're fucking old now, Room Raiders, they used to go into someone's room unknowingly and, like, look through all their shit, and they would hit it with a black light that would show bodily fluids. I mean, my childhood, high school, I used to just, like, cum everywhere. Like, on clothing, on the floor, it was probably on the ceilings, the bed, forget about it. So, I mean, I still have, like, nightmares at night when I'm on my Casper mattress thinking about someone hitting my room with a black light. So, there's my answer.
This is our current room or our childhood room?
Your, like, high school room.
Wow. See, I wouldn't be worried about anything.
Because you just don't give a fuck at that age?
No. Or you just don't have anything? Just, like... I was, like, so scared of getting caught. I would probably have 1,000 spitters under my bed that I was hiding. But that's, like, it.
You didn't have, like, a porn stash? Like a DVD or something like that? I guess you didn't really. I had some tangible porn. I think Spags probably did as well.
Yeah, I did too. Some Playboy. Actually, I had some Playboys that were, like, way old. And that I might have jerked off onto, and I didn't know, like, what jerking off really was. And I just came on the magazine, and I'm like, that's what you do. You just come on the girl's face on the magazine.
I saw a movie or, like, a TV show once when I was, like, at that age where, like, one of the moms is yelling at her son. And she's like, and if you think I don't know why the towels are so crusty, I fucking do, whatever. And so I, like, got terrified and became really concerned with that. So I would, like, I'd, like, use, like, an old t-shirt for, like, a week, and I'd just throw it away. I wouldn't put anything in the laundry.
Well, that's one of those things too where you think you're probably being more slick or secretive than you are, and it's like, yeah, your mom knows why she can break the towel in half. Your mom knows why you're locked in the room for, like, hours on end. You're not that slick, dude. So yeah,
I would wait for them to go to work or something like that when I was home alone, and I'd just, like, go bury a t-shirt in the fucking trash.
Another quick hitter here from St. Brendan. Taking a plus one to a holiday party for work. Yes or no?
Yes or no?
I'm a hard no on this.
Hard no on.
I don't care. I don't know. You can't ask me real world questions. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I guess, like, in The Office, it's like in The Departed when Alec Baldwin tells Matt Damon's character that you know, it's good that he's got a girlfriend, or good that he's getting married,
because it lets you know that
someone can stand you and you're normal and whatever.
Yeah.
I guess it's a probably good time to just show up with, like, a hot chick and be like, okay.
I can understand that.
This girl's okay with me.
We've seen so many – we've heard on this very show horror stories about you bring a girl who gets too drunk. You bring in a guy who throws up on a coworker. I am very against mixing work and real life. So you don't need to bring a chick. Don't bring a chick.
Yeah, I think, like, with work thing, if you're trying to fuck a girl in your office or just anybody you could hook up with, that's when you don't do it. But if it's, like, an office of guys and you bring a girl and she's hot and they all think you're the coolest, then, like, it seems like a smart move to do just to get ahead.
All right.
It's the same fucking rule as literally everything in life. Just do what every fucking else is doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, all right. I think it's weird.
Don't be the asshole who stands out. Just blend in.
That's how we're going to leave it. I usually ask every episode, Feidelberg, any last words? You just did it for me. Don't be the asshole. Just don't be the asshole in life, and you will go places. You might not get to the top, but you're not going to be at the bottom. You'll be somewhere in the middle, in like the upper percentiles, if you're just not the asshole in life.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com?
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.